God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, today is Thanksgiving, and there's a long-standing American tradition to give thanks to God on this day. Where does that tradition come from? Well, we can look all the way back to George Washington, 1789. October 3rd, he made a proclamation. He says, whereas it's the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly implore His protection and favor, etc. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, and that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country, etc. It's been a long time since we heard a president talk like that, I think. Makes you kind of long for the good old days, doesn't it? So you can go back all the way to George Washington. You can go back before that to the Pilgrims, to the proclamation by Governor William Bradford, 3 years after the Pilgrims landed. That'd be 1623. And for years after George Washington, there was no real celebration officially of Thanksgiving because Thomas Jefferson nixed it. He said, we don't want this practice, this kind of kingly practice. And then, though, certain states celebrated it until Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the fourth Thursday of November to be the official National Thanksgiving Day. And in 1941, Congress ratified that to be a day of thanksgiving for our nation. Now, that is fantastic and wonderful. But Thanksgiving, I'll tell you, doesn't start with George Washington or Congress or Abraham Lincoln or Governor Bradford. It really starts with Christians, Christianity, and the Bible, and God. And what is God's will for us? Where does Thanksgiving really come from? Well, let's take a look what God says to us about our lives. Psalm 50, verse 14, we read this, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and pay your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me, says God. And look also at Psalm 95. Come, let's sing to the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let's come into His presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are His also. Will you give thanks to God with me today for these things? David says, I go about thy altar, O Lord, singing aloud a song of thanksgiving, telling of all thy wonderful deeds. Of course, that's God speaking to you, expressing His will for your life in the days of the Old Testament. But we also see that same theme just course throughout the New Testament as if exploding in thanksgivings to God for what He's done for us in Jesus. Check this out. Colossians 4, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Yep, turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Colossians 3, verse 15, be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, etc., as you sing with thankfulness in your hearts to God, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And one more, you could look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's what? It's God's will for you in Christ Jesus, that your life would be overflowing with thanks. In fact, one more, listen to this. As therefore you received Christ Jesus the Lord, Colossians 2, so live in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. That word for abounding, which is what the apostles were teaching the people, was this, perisuo, which means to exceed a fixed number, to go beyond measuring, to be overflowing. And the word is actually used, an additional note here, it's used of a flower going from a bud into full bloom. And I want to ask you then, does that describe your life? Giving thanks to God, just boom, like overflowing, like fireworks and flowers opening up, going from bud to blossom. Based on your silence, I think we need to continue. What if God sent two angels from heaven, each with baskets? One to carry requests up to God in our prayers, one to carry thanksgiving to God in our prayers. What do you think these two baskets might look like? Well, the angel that would come down for the requests would look something like this. Oh, requests. Yes, I'm picking it up. Thanksgiving, requests everywhere. How about the basket of the angel to carry the thanksgivings to God? Probably that's pretty accurate, don't you think? The fact is that even though we know we should, we often forget to do these things. And giving thanks to God is a rare thing. And in fact, amongst the wicked, this is especially true of the last days. This is what we're to look for in the sign of his coming. 2 Timothy 3, we read, "But understand this," says Paul, "that in the last days there'll come times of stress. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, etc., holding the form of religion, but denying the power of it." So what is one of the signs of the last days is what? Ungrateful, giving no thanks to God. And in fact, we see that. Compare George Washington. Well, President Obama last year in 2011 says, according to ABC article, felt little holiday cheer. For the president said his family was, quote, "reflecting on how truly lucky we are," and made no reference to God. Before you get on your high horse, Mitt Romney's Thanksgiving proclamation also omitted any reference to God or giving thanks to him. We also know of Les, you were telling me about that comedian, that woman. Her name's Kathy Griffin. I looked her up, who won an award in 2007, Primetime Emmy Award. But when she got up to receive it, these were her words. She says, "Now a lot of people come up here and thank Jesus for this award. I want you to know that no one had less to do with this award than Jesus. He didn't help me a bit. If it was up to him, Caesar Millen would be up here with that beep dog." And then the next word is too blasphemous for me to say. And then she ends with, this award is my God now, holding it up. The last days, ungrateful, is one of the characteristics of people. And in fact, I was reading an article on Thanksgiving. Anybody into Black Friday? Well, you know the big controversy, they're moving it earlier and earlier. And it says families are getting upset because it's breaking into what the things that they call sacred on this day. Namely, lazing around on the couch, stuffing themselves with food, and watching football. What about thanks? That is what makes this day sacred. And in fact, you know what? Every day for a Christian is Thanksgiving. To be overflowing. Kind of like, again, I commandeered these from the Lord's creation. You know, a flower that's closed up. A lot of Christians, but what God wants is to blossom, open into bud, and go into full bloom with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Now, is this just a new thing from our age? People are not thankful? Well, we read in the gospel lesson just a few minutes ago, Luke 17. Check this one out. "On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village, met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance, lifted up their voices and cried, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give thanks to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." You know what's amazing about this to me? They were all cleansed, right? But only one was declared well. And the word there is exozo, which means saved. Only one was truly delivered, because thanksgiving really completes the circuit. You know, God cleanses and heals, and when we return thanksgiving to him, that makes all things complete and well. That's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for me. Psalm 50, he says, "Mark this then, you who forget God, lest I rend and there be none to deliver. He who brings thanksgiving as his sacrifice honors me. To him who orders his way aright, I will show the salvation of God." I want to ask you, what can you really give to God anyway? What can you give to God that he doesn't have? He owns everything. Everything you have, he's given to you. The only thing we can really give him, and which he wants us and delights in, is thanksgiving. So why should we give thanks to God? First off, it's his due. It's what is what he deserves. Psalm 7, "I will give thanks to the Lord, the thanks due to his righteousness, and I'll sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High." God made the creation. God made the stars and the planets, which I was looking at last night. God made a beautiful world with every color and all things for us to enjoy, it says in the scriptures. 1 Timothy 6. He gives us, as it says, life and breath and everything. He gives us counsel, comfort, hope, family, wives, husbands, children, shelter. Yes, even football games, if you will, maybe. But the best of all, he gives us salvation, and he gives us the hope of glory. We're going to give thanks to him for that? How insulting it is to the King of Kings not to give him thanks, for thanks is due his name forever and ever. Another reason you might want to give thanks is giving thanks changes us. Do you ever feel that? Maybe you don't, because you don't give thanks enough. But I know the other night I was up in the middle of the night because, well, sometimes I wake up, go to the bathroom, come back, and my mind starts running. You ever have that? And I start worrying and thinking, oh, I want to be a better pastor. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this or that. I want to be a better husband and father. I want to do this. I want to teach them to memorize the scriptures. I want to do this and that. Oh, my boat, that needs a lot of fixing. I need to fix this. I need to fix that. I need to fix this. Oh, health, I'd really like to exercise more. I want to do this and this. And I was getting worried and more upset until I said, I'm going to give thanks. God, I thank you that I'm this far with my family. I'm thankful we do devotions each other. I'm thankful that you stand by me each time I preach. I'm thankful for this, and I'm thankful for that. And you know what? A peace settled over me that I had not for an hour or a half, hour and a half that I was awake. Peace. And I felt happier. I felt closer to the Lord because, once again, I'm just completing that gift, that circuit. And I fell peacefully to sleep. Thanksgiving changes us. And also, it's a right response to all that God's done for us in the gospel. You remember the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich? Have you forgotten what he's done for you? They plaited a crown of thorns and pushed it onto his head till it bled. They beat him. He was struck in his head. They mocked him as king, just like that comedian. And they led him away to crucify him. But we read in Isaiah, "We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole, and with his stripes we are healed." We are well, right? He has done everything. And to say no thank you to him for that is the manifestation of unbelief, and it's the biggest insult you can give to God, right? Considering everything he's done for you, and he gives his life and his son, and he bleeds for you and dies for you to save you, and then you say, no thanks. That's the biggest insult you could say to the king. But the biggest compliment and gift and delight to his heart you could ever say is, thank you. And ultimately, that's what faith is, right? Because salvation's a gift. It's a free gift. The gift of righteousness in Jesus Christ. And all we can ultimately do is say thank you. And when you say thank you, you say, I receive that gift from you as a gift, God. Praise be to your name for salvation. I'll glory in your name, in the name of Jesus. So thanksgiving is really faith, speaking and acting, and then we live it out. And again, what can we give thanks to God for? We've named a number of things. How about government? A lot of you are pretty sour these days on the government, especially after the other week. You say, but I don't like the government. Well, you know what God says to you? He says, first of all, then I urge you that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and, say it, thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life, godly and respectful in every way. And this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What kind of government did they have back then? It was pretty bad, right? But nevertheless, God says it's good to give thanks for these. There's a hippie I read once who met another hippie. They were talking. He says, I'm going to go pick up my unemployment check. After that, I'm going to go to the university and apply for more federal education grants. Then I'm going to get food stamps. Then I'm going to go to the free health clinic and get my glasses. Then I'm going to go to the welfare department and see if they'll increase my age of eligibility. Then at 5 p.m., we're all getting together at the federal building for mass demonstration against this rotten establishment. Don't you forget what God has done for you and does for you, even through governments that are not perfect and may not do what we like all the time. You're living in peace, and you have order, and we should thank God for that. And he says it's good and acceptable in my sight. Thank you for President Obama. Thank you for our leaders, even if we don't agree with them all the time, and even if they do things wrong. We can also thank him for creation. Man, when I look at the creation, I love nature. And I see all these things blossoming and blooming, and these shows we've been watching on creation versus evolution and how God's put everything together. We read God, who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, doesn't live in shrines made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all men life and breath and everything. All right, do it with me. Ready? Did God give you that breath? You're going to thank him for it? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And may your life be abounding in it. He gives to you everything. And as a gift of his grace, because he loves you. He delights and he gives even to the wicked his rain, it says in Scripture. Another thing we ought to thank God for is our troubles and our pains and our thorns. You do that? Give God, oh, thank you, God, for this great struggle in my life. Well, you know what? He works everything together for good with those who love him. Do you know that Paul says we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God, the heavenly kingdom? And he says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance character, character hope, and hope doesn't disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. But can you give thanks to God for your sufferings even as well? God says, that's my will in all circumstances. Do it. It'll change you, and it's right. Also, we can thank God for preserving us from what could have happened but didn't. I had a dream the other night, and President Michael, our former president, district president, assigned a senior pastor to this church. I was now going to be junior pastor. And this guy was LCMS to a T, all right? And, you know, he came, I even knew his name in the dream, Ed Zimmerman, right? Good German name. And he came, he said, okay, Greg, well, I'm coming, I'm taking over on Monday, meet with me on my office, we'll divide up the sermons. I'm like, well, actually, Monday is kind of my day off, I go to the beach and work on the sermon. Okay, strike number one. Then he's like, okay, well, then we'll at least get on together on Tuesday. We'll divide up the lectionary. I'm sorry, Ed. I, I don't preach from the lectionary. Oh, no. Strike number two. And then he says, well, let's divide up the confirmation class at least. And I'm like, well, right now we're not going through the catechism. We're going through creation, evolution, and world religions. And I was just striking out, and I was looking in the dream for Beth. I'm like, Beth, I need your consolation. Help me. This is not going well. And then when it was just getting worse and worse, I woke up, and I go, oh, thank you. Thank you that that wasn't real. And Beth looked up the next day to see if there was an Ed Zimmerman in the LCMS. Thankfully, there was none. Your name's not Ed Zimmerman, is it? We have an LCMS pastor here. I was afraid when I met you. I'm like, oh, no, it's Ed. But sometimes we can thank God for what didn't happen that might have. But above all, we want to thank God today for his inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus. You know, without Jesus, we would be surely without hope. We'd be destined for death, damnation, and every other thing. But Jesus came and did everything for us. And he even prayed on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. What kind of love does he love you with? Underneath you are the everlasting arms. Christ died for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. That's his purpose, to bring you to the Father, to reconcile you, to give you peace. Are you not thankful for these things today? That you have a creator with all power on your side, you on his, and in peace through Jesus Christ. And we have the hope of glory with a new heavens, a new earth, where righteousness dwells, where the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. I declare I'm thankful for these things today. Can you say, I am thankful for this?
I am thankful for this.
And God's fatherly care over you in all things, and his love and promise to give you grace and kindness to you in Christ Jesus forever and ever and ever. Yeah, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. So how are you going to do this? How are you going to train yourself in these things? Well, imagine when you're praying the two baskets. Make sure you fill up the other one as well. This is God's will for you, to open like a flower and blossom, to explode and abound in overflowing thanksgiving. So would you sing with me? Thank you, God, for saving my soul. Thank you, God, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. In Jesus' name, amen.